Father, I just want to turn this time over to you, Lord. I just pray that that you would come by your Holy Spirit, instruct us through the Scriptures. Make the Word alive to us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been meditating on a psalm for a couple of months now, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles, the dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's a little word in there, a Hebrew word, Selah. Means a little interlude. Think about these things. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. This is a psalm about three things that we all need. We need security in life. We need happiness in life, and we need hope. And those three things are really tied together. It's really hard to be happy if you're not secure. And it's hard to be hopeful if you're never happy. And it's hard to feel secure if you don't have any hope. So those three things are tied together. And the psalmist begins this psalm with the assurance, the greatest assurance of all, God. God. He points to the one who is bigger, better, greater, stronger than everything else, the one who is almighty, all-knowing, the one who never sleeps, never takes a break. The one who never changes his mind, never changes his character. God is our refuge and our strength. And our refuge is a safe place, a place where you can escape from harm. You know, maybe you there was a movie a few years ago about a safe room. Kind of a thriller movie. This woman and her daughter had to hide in a safe room in their house as these people were trying to break in and terrorize them. Recently, I've heard about people having a safe room in their house from tornadoes. More common probably in Kansas and places like that than up here. But the idea that you have a room in your house that's secure and safe when the storms come. There was a little bit of a storm last night that woke me up, kept me from getting my beauty sleep. And I had to look outside to see, okay, are the trees waving back and forth enough to worry about, or pretty calm, a little lightning, but... Well, God is our refuge. He's our safe place. Place where danger cannot harm. And He's our strength. God is our strength. Now, our strength, what we have in ourselves, is pretty limited. And even though we can augment our strength, enhance our strength a little bit with tools and technology and weapons and so forth, we're still vulnerable. Things can still happen to us that are beyond our control. Natural disasters, car accidents, diseases, just the stuff of life can happen, and it's just too big for us. We can't handle it. Just getting old exposes our weakness. We don't have a lot of strength. And so we recognize a need for someone who's greater, bigger, stronger. Someone who can deliver us from our troubles. Just like God did for Israel time and time again in the Old Testament. God is our refuge and our strength. And especially someone who can sustain our hearts and our minds in a place of peace when the world is full of unrest. Isaiah chapter 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Picture of God sustaining us when our natural inclination would be to give up, flop down on the ground, say, this is too much. But God can help us. And the good news is that God is always available. He is a very present help in trouble. The margin of one translation says He is abundantly available. He's just always there, ready and willing. I looked at some of the, I'm not a deep Hebrew scholar, but I looked at some of the words that are used in this psalm. And the Hebrew word for help is the word Ezra. Same, the name of the guy Ezra in the Old Testament. The word help. Help, assistance, one who helps. That's an Ezra. You might want to think about that in light of Jesus' promise that He would send us the Helper. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the One who helps. The Greek in the New Testament is Paraclete. In the Old Testament here, God is our Ezra, our Helper. We'll see more connection to the Holy Spirit in this psalm. But it was because of this promise that Jesus could say to His disciples, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even though He was going away physically, He could promise them, I will never leave you or forsake you because I'm sending you the Holy Spirit who will help you, who will comfort you, who will be with you, who will be in you. And it's because of that promise Jesus could say, the Father and I are both going to come and live in you. We're sending the Spirit. He is an ever-present help in trouble. He's always with us. And therefore, We will not fear. Because of these things, we will not be afraid. Because God is with us. Our Emmanuel, our Ezra, he's here to help us. We don't have to be afraid or worried, even though the earth be removed. Or as the New American Standard says, and the New Revised Standard Version say, even though the earth should change. Even though the earth should change. Now, I like that translation because change, and it's quite appropriate this morning, change is hard for us. It's a challenge for us. It's difficult. We don't like change. We're creatures of habit. We like things to stay the same. Unless you're one of those rare individuals who thrives on the thrill of the unknown, but most of us, we like things to be predictable and the same. Change is unsettling, it's threatening, we're not in control, we don't know what's going to happen, we don't like that. But we can survive and endure and go through change with the Lord because He doesn't change. We can go through these things without being afraid if it's our habit to trust the Lord. He's our refuge. Now, the kinds of change that the psalmist was talking about are the big changes, cataclysmic changes, world-ending changes. The kind of things that you go to the movies to really get scared of these days. The end of the world. The big asteroid coming. Splashing down in the ocean, sending up the big tidal wave, wiping out civilization, mega earthquakes, super volcanoes, the next pandemic plague that wipes everybody out. Nuclear warfare is actually kind of low on the list of fears right now compared to these other things. And you can see all these things graphically represented. Like this movie that was out last year, 2012. I think they had just about all those things in there. Great movie if you like seeing California slide into the sea and the continent splitting apart and stuff like that. Now, if something like that really happened, you would be afraid. I think naturally. Those are fearful things. The psalmist says, though, there is a place where even if those things happen, we can continue to be unafraid because we have refuge in God. The Holy Spirit will continue to help us and comfort us. Jesus will continue to be with us even if those kinds of things happen. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, 28 tells us that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything else is being shaken. Everything else is shakable. But we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I think it's interesting. I looked at the Greek, since it's the New Testament, and that has to do with the action of waves slamming up against the rocks on shore, the movement of great waves. The sea can rise up and reshape the world, but we're still secure. Our kingdom is anchored to a rock that cannot be shaken. That's where our hope is. Well, in the Psalm 46 there, the psalmist contrasts the roaring of the oceans with another body of water, the river of God. The flowing of God's river, and here we have another connection to the Holy Spirit. God's river. And we had that scripture read to us a little bit ago from John chapter 7. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. The Holy Spirit was not yet given. Jesus had not yet been glorified. I was reminded of this river earlier this summer. Early in June, we were up on the North Shore, and we were staying in a cabin which was right by a waterfall on the Baptism River, which was an appropriate name, I thought, the Baptism River. And I don't know if you've been up there ever, but the Baptism River, when it's got a lot of water in it, it's a wild river. A lot of rocks in it, a lot of rapids, several waterfalls, and it's really moving. It's a strong current. You wouldn't want to get out in that, unless you're a real thrill seeker. And we were right by this waterfall, a nice big waterfall, the water just pouring out, the roaring just constantly. You can hear it all night in the cabin there. And I just saw that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Just all that endless supply. It never stopped, never turned off, it never got less. It was always coming, and just the power of it. You could feel it in the ground as well as, you know, hear it constantly. And that's how the Spirit is. There's no shortage of the Spirit. The supply is endless. Now, I think there's a lie that we've bought into in the body of Christ. And we've been conditioned by our own poor experience to think that there's only a little occasional trickle of the Holy Spirit. I don't think that's true. If we're not seeing much flow of the Spirit in our lives, it's not because there isn't much of the Spirit. It's something to do with us. There's some problem with us. Not him. Jesus said to the disciples, "My Spirit is going to be poured out from on high, not trickled out." This word river in the psalm there, the river of God, the Hebrew word there means a major river. A huge river, something like the Nile River or the Euphrates River or the Mississippi River. The size and scope of what's being talked about, it's the kind of river that overflows its banks at times and becomes virtually like a sea when it floods out over the floodplain. Now, we think of floods as a bad thing. You know, we take all kinds of measures to try and prevent floods, try to contain the flow. But the ancients didn't see it that way. They didn't build all kinds of dikes and dams and stuff to try and contain the flow. They wanted the floods. The floods were good. The floods were life-giving. That was what replenished the soil. That was what watered their crops. That was life to them. If there was a season that did not flood, that was bad. They wanted the floods. And that's the kind of river that the river of God is. A huge river that floods over everything. Now there's another picture of the river of God in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 47, not going to read that whole chapter, but it pictures a river flowing out from under the threshold of the temple in Jerusalem. And this river flows eastward from Jerusalem, down into the valley, and into the sea, which would be, if you look east from Jerusalem, what sea would that be, Jeanette? Be the Dead Sea, what we call the Dead Sea today. But in Ezekiel 47, verses 8 and 9, it says, when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. And there will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a prophetic picture of something that I believe is literally and physically going to happen in the future, in the end times. And you have to understand, when the psalmist says there is a river, he is speaking prophetically and spiritually. Because right now in Jerusalem, there is no such river. Back in the days of the psalmist and the days of the prophets in the Old Testament, there was no such river. Jerusalem is not situated on a river. It's up on a mountain. It's not down on a riverbank. So the prophet, or he was prophesying and speaking prophetically and spiritually. Someday there will be such a river. And right now there is such a river in the Spirit of God flowing. And it talks in the psalm about the dwelling places of God, the tabernacles of God. Well, we are the dwelling places, the tabernacles of God today. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Or Ephesians chapter 2, where Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And you also are being built together for a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, when we were up at the Baptism River, along the North Shore there, it was obvious that you couldn't go swimming in that river. If you got out in that current, you were gone. There wouldn't be much hope for you. Although I have seen pictures of people kayaking over the falls, which looks totally crazy to me, and insensible, but people do these things. The river of God probably isn't quite so wild and turbulent as the Baptism River up there. But Ezekiel 47 does say that the river gets too deep for wading. It gets too wide to swim across. It's a huge river. It's a life-giving flood. But he says this river of God, that its streams make glad the city of God. Now, the word for streams there is you don't have to remember this or take notes, or I'm not going to quiz you afterwards, but the word is peleg. It means a small channel of water, as in an irrigation canal. or a little fountain, a little rivulet, just a little bit of that huge flow. When Jesus talked about rivers of living water flowing out of the believer, the Greek word that he used was potamos, which means a brook or a freshet, a little current of fresh, drinkable water. And I think we can understand that the whole river of God doesn't flow out of you. Jesus wasn't saying that the whole river, but a nice, refreshing little stream will come out of you. A little bit of that flow. And if you're really interested in the Greek, the word potamos is where we get the name for the Potomac River. And it's also the root of the word potable or potable, which means drinkable. The water of the Holy Spirit that comes out of you is drinkable. It's good. It's fresh. Well, I saw this on the Baptism River. There's this tremendous flow of water that you can't, what can you do with it? You can't swim in it. You can't tame it. It's too powerful for you. It's too much for you. But right on the edge, among the rocks, there were little eddies and little pools, little rivulets, places where you could take a dip if you wanted to, or put your container in, get some water if you needed. And there was one little place it caught my attention. There was a rock right on the edge of the river. It was kind of notched in a V shape. And the water's just raging and swirling and going by out here. But this rock right on the edge of the shore, every couple of seconds, a little bit of water just bloop up in that V. Bloop, just like a little fountain out of the drinking fountain out there. And I thought, there's a picture. I can't drink that whole river, but that little whoop, I could drink that. That would sustain me. That would keep me going. Wherever the river goes, it brings life. Wherever it flows. And when some of it flows through us, it has life-giving virtue in it. It has the same freshness. Just like Jesus said, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. Don't worry if we go a little bit past 12, because we started a little bit late this morning, right? So, but I am keeping my eye on the clock. The clock is working this morning, so just have confidence. That's right. Well, this word for stream, Peleg, has another meaning in Hebrew. And it's kind of interesting in this context. The other meaning of the word Peleg is earthquake. Now first you think, how can they get earthquake out of a word that means a stream of water? But the underlying idea here is to split, to divide. A stream is a little split off from the big river. An earthquake splits things up, divides things. And you might, some of you, if you're really into the genealogies and all the names of the patriarchs and stuff of that, there was a guy sort of halfway in between Noah and Abraham in the Old Testament. His name was Peleg. He was given that name because it says, in his day, the earth was divided. And many scholars believe that's a reference to the division of mankind that took place at the Tower of Babel, because that would have been about the time he was born and lived. And God came down, confused man's speech, separated them into separate nations. Some scholars think it's because there was a big earthquake when he was born, but there was some kind of division that took place in his days. So consider this possible reading. There is a river whose earthquakes make glad the city of God. Now, when you're standing by one of those big waterfalls, and the earth is kind of just, you can feel the vibration, the hum in the earth under your feet. There's this thundering power there. And think about Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So are you ready for some Holy Spirit flow to shake things up? We want to do more than just switch the room around and change things up that way. We want God to come in, shake us up a little. Well, that's just kind of a little side note on the whole theme here. The primary idea that the psalmist has in mind is that we are not shaking. We are not shaking, but we are being made glad. Streams that come off from the river of God make glad the city of God. And the Hebrew word that's used there, you don't need to know what it is, but the best English word for translating that word is probably the word blithe. Are any of you blithe this morning? Which means to be happy, light-hearted in character and disposition, unconcerned, not worried. No worries. The river of God brings us the security of God's unchanging love. The Holy Spirit is a seal or the guarantee of our inheritance in God's kingdom. And that kind of security gives us the freedom to live without a whole lot of worry. The freedom to rejoice, the freedom to walk through the upheavals of life in a light-hearted way. Doesn't mean there aren't any upheavals, but it means we can go through them in a light-hearted way. We're not afraid of the disasters. Disasters might come. We're not afraid of them. We are not moved. The psalmist says, they shall not move us. And I like this word. To be moved means to waver, to slip, to shake, to fall, to be out of course. To be out of course, to be taken out of your path or your channel or your course, like a river that's not flowing where it's supposed to be. And we are not moved out of our course in life. God's purpose for us is not deviated. There's no diversion. We're not shunted off onto some other path in life because things happen. We don't end up at some other destination. Life doesn't come and switch trains on us in the middle of the night and we end up where we're not supposed to be. Can't do that. Nothing can take us out of His hands. Nothing can separate us from His love. Ephesians 1 tells us that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were predestined to adoption as sons. These things were already determined before He even began the creation. So the psalmist is saying, there is a river which is flowing with God's purpose. And it will never flow out of His purpose. It never changes and goes in some other direction. And that river is what is flowing in the hearts of us who believe. The whole world can change its course overnight. Fads and fashions come and they go. Whole denominations can decide to throw out the Word of God. Nations can rise and fall. But the river still flows. And it flows in the course prescribed by the Word of God. And that river will prevail. And the Word of God will not fail. And we will not be moved. God is in the midst of us. And He will help us right early. That's what the King James says. Some other translations say, first thing in the morning, or at the turning of the morning, the break of dawn, right early. Means that it's the first thing on His agenda. It's to help us. Keep us on course. God doesn't have a whole bunch of other things to do first and then He'll get around to us. We're the first thing on His agenda. And we will not be moved. Now, for some of you who are Lord of the Rings fans, I know not all of you are, but for those of you who are and who went to the movies, the scene that comes to my mind when I see this phrase, not being moved, there's a scene in the movie where the wizard Gandalf is faced with this huge demon out of the depths. And he's standing in the midst of a little stone bridge that spans this chasm of unimaginable depth. And this huge demon that's like 10 stories tall is coming towards him, just a ugly, flaming, horrible thing from the pit of hell. And Gandalf is there with his staff and his sword, and he says, "You shall not pass!" Thumping his staff down on the stone in front of his feet. And just the idea that this little man is going to resist this, what seems like tremendous, irresistible force of evil. But Gandalf had a secret source of strength. For those of you who might be familiar with J.R.R. Tolkien, the author, he was a Christian, and in his analogy, his allegory, Gandalf kind of represented an angelic being in disguise, sent from God to help mankind through the trials of life. We shall not be moved. The things of life are huge that the psalmist is talking about. The earth being moved, mountains falling into the sea, things shaking and quaking, but we will not be moved. We will not be taken out of God's purpose, His plan for us. Then in the psalm, God Himself speaks to us. And He speaks to us words that we rarely listen to. We might recite them a lot to ourselves, but we need to take them more to heart. Be still. Cease striving. And know that I am God. Just know that I'm God. I'll take care of the big business. You don't have to worry about it. And the Hebrew word there is Shabbat. Directly related to our word Sabbath. Rest. Take a rest. One translation puts it this way: let go and relax. You don't have to be freaking out about these things. Quit worrying. Quit trying to be in control. Just let go and relax. And know that God is being God. He's got it under control. His river is flowing. He has a plan. Nothing has changed His plan. And all you have to do is sit on the bank, dip your toe in, take a little sip, relax, believe God today. God says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And nothing has ever happened to change God's plan. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. Isaiah 45:23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. In Philippians 2, therefore God also has highly exalted His Son, given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the plan. And it's going to happen. So be still. Just know, I am God. The psalm begins the statement, God is our refuge and strength. And then twice more he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We live in an ever-changing world. We live in a world where we see the signs of the end seem to be clearer every day. We see an intensifying of men's evil. We see all the troubles, all the distresses that are in the world. And it's tempting to be in despair, to be moved by these things. But we can have security and refuge in God. And the Holy Spirit in us can keep us flowing in His purpose. God wants you to know there is a place of refuge. There is a place of safety. There's a place where you can be free from worry and anxiety. You don't have to be moved out of your course by fear or despair. He wants you to know there is a river of joy that is flowing abundantly. And it can flow in you. And you can celebrate the Lord with confidence, because He will bring these things to pass. He will bring peace and justice to the earth. He will establish His kingdom. Everything will turn out for good to those who love Him. It's going to happen. The river is flowing. It can't be stopped. The world around us is being shaken and moved, and every wave that comes along sweeps people into out to the sea of despair, wondering what is the world coming to? And all kinds of solutions are proposed. People try to fix things with politics. Try to fix things with science and technology. Some people grab their guns and say, I'm going to fix things myself. We live in this constant state of uncertainty. Today, this thing is good for you and that's bad. And tomorrow, it's the opposite. Put your sunscreen on so you don't get skin cancer. Oh, sunscreen causes skin cancer. You heard that in the last couple of weeks? If global warming doesn't kill you, then the mega earthquake will. If that doesn't get you, then the next flu pandemic or something else. But we have a hope that is firm and unshaken. Our course is set. We are flowing with God's purpose because we have His Holy Spirit living in us. His living water is flowing in us. And wherever He goes, there is life. Life that is secure, life that is abundant, life that is joyful, life that is not moved. So I'm tremendously encouraged by this psalm. I think it's appropriate for our day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You that there is such a river flowing out from Your throne. And I thank You, Lord, that we are invited by the Scriptures to come and drink, and drink freely of the waters of life. And I pray, Lord, that as we experience the different things of life that go on around us, Lord, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. I pray, Lord, that we could be examples to the people around us of that which is not moved, that which is not shaken, the kingdom of God. And I pray, Lord, that more and more people would want to climb up on this rock with us and be secure where God is our refuge and our strength. And I pray, Lord, that this morning, if there are people that we know who are being moved, who are being shaken, who are in distress or trouble, Lord, be an ever-present an immediately and abundantly available help to them, Lord. Strengthen them, rescue them, restore them, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.